It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats in chanty whisper. I say, why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. And we would like to actually express our condolences and sorrow and sadness for the martyrdom of, the master of the martyrs, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, peace be upon him. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic laws regarding the mourning ceremonies of Imam Hussein, or in commemoration of his martyrdom. And also Arba'in. Well, before that, let's take a listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Khamenei, and we'll be back. Don't go away. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasis, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Sheikh Javed, since we are, you know, talking about the mourning ceremony of Imam Hussein, in fact, especially when we are approaching the Arba'in pilgrimage or Arba'in walk, would you, in fact, be kind enough to talk about the logic of such a gathering and such a pilgrimage?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, the logic of this pilgrimage, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, is that it is the logic of defending the truth and resistance against oppression, against transgression, against deviation and arrogance. And this is the logic of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Today the world needs this logic. It is in dire need of this this logic. Today the world is witness to the rule of kufr, arrogance and corruption everywhere, of course. And the world is witness to the rule of oppression. There's no doubt about it. The message of Imam Hussein is actually the salvation of the world. The great movement of Arba'in conveys this message to the whole world. Mm-hmm. And by Allah's favor and grace, this movement should, of course, be strengthened on a daily basis.
Right.
And of course, the fervor, the enthusiasm must increase day by day. Because there is, of course, tremendous benefit in taking part in this procession. And of course, when Muslims from different parts of the world gather in millions, it's a display of solidarity. It's a display of unity, and it is a display of a manifestation of being one and together.
Right, Sheikh Javed. You know, is it you know obligatory to have a valid passport? You know, in order to secure, for example, or require, you know, the required visa and documents and stuff which is, are needed, in fact, when you travel through borders, you know, especially in this, you know, special ceremony, if you want to, in fact, join the Arba'in Walk.
Of course, it's a good question because there are some people who do not at the moment, for example, have their passports ready. They want to take part in the procession and the Arba'in rally, and they might want to cross the borders illegally. According to Ayatollah Khamenei, it is necessary in all circumstances to comply with the pertinent laws, with the regulations. And of course, it depends on the agreements reached between, for example, between Iraq and another country. Now, Iranians, for the time being, they are able to go without even a valid visa or anything because the two countries have reached an agreement allowing the Iranians to go through the doors and go to Iraq without even having any visas because it's already settled that the two countries have reached an agreement. So everything in this scenario depends on the law and the regulations of the country, and it's not permissible, according to His Eminence, to violate the law and the regulations.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back and continue, you know, our program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, regarding this amazing gathering of people. You know, about, in fact, the you know, commemoration of the Imam Hussein's martyrdom anniversary, and also the pilgrimage or the walk of Arba'in. Stay with us.
With millions of stars, your eyes pull me to you, who are you? I walk in the day with millions of angels, I see you in all these faces, who are you?
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about, in fact, some of the Islamic laws related to the mourning ceremony of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, or peace be upon him, and also Arba'in and Arba'in pilgrimage and the walk. Well, Sheikh Javid, you know, I asked you a question regarding a valid passport before the break. I would like to ask a quite relevant question.
Yes.
You know, if there's a devout Muslim who says that I don't have much time and I can't afford the time, in fact, to go to the, for example, the police department to, you know, have one of these passports issued for me, per se, can I, because I don't have enough time, can I just refer to, for example, my brother and, of course, with his consent, use his passport, for example, to join the Arba'in walk?
Well, compliance with the pertinent laws and regulations is necessary in all circumstances. It's not permissible for an individual to make use of his brother's passport, because his brother's passport is not his passport, and therefore any violation of such laws and regulations is not permissible according to Ayatollah Khamenei.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay. What about the college students, Sheikh Javid? You know, can they take some time off, in fact, even during their school year, educational year, to attend the Arba'in pilgrimage?
Well, you know, if taking off during the school year will have a very negative impact on their studies and on their education, and will probably disqualify them from continuing the university or college studies, it's not good for them to take off, because it will have a negative effect on their studies, which is not good. You know, the Arba'in procession is not obligatory. It is just recommended for people to take part in it. And of course, students must abide by the laws and regulations of their schools. You know, if the schools do not allow them to take off and to, you know, leave this college or the schools, they should not do so, and they should follow the pertinent laws, you know, governing their school.
Sheikh Javid, another question regarding, in fact, the Nazr, or which we call it, the religious vow.
Wow.
And,
yes.
You know, some people are very, you know, pertinent about this, and they are keen on, in fact, making a pledge and a vow to do something, for example, to hand out food, for example, to the pilgrims,
yes,
you know, or to people generally on the occasion of Arba'in. And there is a woman who asked this question, if he has pledged to offer food, for example, all right, as a religious vow,
yes,
every year on the occasion of Arba'in. But this year, she intends to, in fact, join the Arba'in walk, participate in the Arba'in pilgrimage herself.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously, on the day of the Arba'in, she'll be in Iraq. You know, she wouldn't be in her hometown, right?
Yes.
So, you know, how does, you know, how can she, in fact, fulfill her vow according to the Sharia laws? And what would be the status of her pledge or vow?
Well, if she has not uttered the specific legally prescribed formula, which is called Sigha, the formula of Nazr, if she has not uttered it,
yes,
she's not under a religious obligation to carry out the pledge, the vow, because unless you recite or utter the formula, there is nothing you should do, and the Nazr, which is probably commonly believed to be a Nazr, is not a valid Nazr in the eye of Sharia,
right,
and it's not binding. So, but if she has uttered the formula and has made the pledge according to the rules prescribed by the Sharia, then of course she has to, she must honor her pledge, and she must go ahead fulfilling the pledge, and she cannot go against it. So on that occasion, on that 40th day of Arba'in, she must comply with it, and she must not be on the procession or maybe wherever she is, according to the Nazr, because she cannot, for example, violate it in one way or the other. So she must act accordingly.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, and thank you for listening to the program Islamic Laws. Wherever you are, we ask for your praying for us. Thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of new